Morning, everybody.
Okay, is that working?
I'm sure it is. We'll see in a minute. So, it's perhaps no surprise to those of you who know me that one of the subjects I like talking about is sheep. Being a vet, but also a smallholder with a small flock, often spend a lot of my time with sheep, and I've just come out of my lambing season. I really felt that I wanted to share with you some of the thoughts and some of the imagery that God gives me when handling my sheep, to try and encourage you perhaps to look in the everyday, see what opportunities God is using to speak to you. Yes, I'm privileged in that I've got sheep and God uses sheep in the Bible, so it's perhaps not so difficult to get some of that imagery. And so the subtitle, I guess, for this is The Meandering Thoughts of a Part-Time Small-Scale Sheep Farmer. And I'm hoping that in some of it, you will get some of these thoughts. God speaks to me so much through my sheep. And I just hope that I can do some of those things justice and share them with you this morning. The other thing, perhaps, I don't want to apologize for, because if I feel like God laid this on my heart. And in fact, as I was praying about it and thinking about it, that night, Gwenny sent me message on Instagram or one of the media things, and it was basically a shepherd with his sheep talking about how God speaks to him through the sheep. So for me, that was like, okay, so this is what God wants me to talk about. But I did talk about shepherds before Christmas, and we did do Psalm 23 not long ago, but maybe God's trying to tell us something. Maybe he's repeating some messages to some of us. Maybe there's some new stuff in it. You know, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, God's people are referred to as sheep. And I think that's a very positive statement, but that's probably because of my affinity to sheep anyway. But as I say, working with them does enable me to see the imagery so much closer. And so, yes, it's working. Okay. If you want to read along, that's probably quite small, actually, so I'm quite happy to read. If you want to read with me, you're more than welcome. But I just want to share a couple of scriptures that will be no surprise to you. One Old Testament, one New Testament. In fact, you probably could have told me what I was going to bring up, but I want to just read these. Maybe, as I say, because it's small, maybe just listen and let the words speak to your heart, impact you. So Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And of course, John 10. Just a small excerpt of this passage. Jesus Christ speaking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own his sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. So let's just, as we often like to do, just look at the background of these words, make sure that we are talking about the right thing when we talk about shepherd. In both the Hebrew and the Greek, it does mean shepherd as we come to understand the term, a shepherd. But we also know there's this dual meaning of the word in the New Testament, shepherd or pastor. And of course, we've got that in the same in Welsh. For those who speak Welsh, will be aware of the Welsh word bigail, which means shepherd, but it also means pastor. And I talked to some of the Welsh-speaking congregation about members of their church, and they'll refer to their ministers quite often as the shepherd, the pastor. And so it is this interchangeable word, and we miss that in English by having the two separate words. And in the Old Testament, it's more than just being a shepherd. It's being a companion and a friend. And I love that. The Lord is my companion. The Lord is my friend. He cares for the flock. There's a connotation of grazing. So the extension is the shepherd rules, but with a focus on care and concern. And I rule over my sheep, but there's a care and a concern for my sheep. And if one of them is bleating, I will go and investigate and see what's going on. If one of them is particularly quiet, I will go and investigate and see what's going on. Because there is this care and concern. And we're told that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And I can tell you, I mean, I've only got a few sheep, but they all lamb within a few days. And so for that period of time, I give my life to my sheep. In fact, I go and sleep in the caravan in the shed so that I can be there if they start birthing, so that I can check them regularly. Sharon also sees it as a break because I'm in the caravan and she's still in the house. But the point is, we make a sacrifice as a family life. It's our choice, admittedly, and we enjoy it. But I delight in seeing the sheep born. I want to be there. So my life gets put on hold for the sheep. So I lay down my life for my sheep. And other things become less of a priority. And you can see, perhaps, by the way I'm speaking, and it's not quite fair because all farmers, I think, that I know that have sheep, 99.9% love their sheep and love their animals. Farmers are farmers because they love animals and the way they work. But they perhaps don't go quite as far as me in that they name their sheep. And so mine are very biblical sheep. My sheep have names. I know their name, and they know me as their shepherd. And this top picture, this is the matriarch. This is Fatty. Look at me getting emotional. But that's because Fatty is no longer with us. I've never cried for a sheep before, but I cried when Fatty died. Probably partly because Fatty died on the same day as my father's wake. So I was quite emotional anyway. But Fatty is the number one sheep, and until recently was the only screensaver on my phone. And Sharon would get quite upset because everybody else has their loved ones, and you look at my phone and it's got Fatty. Well, my phone has just changed, and I've got 3 screensavers of the family. But whilst preparing for this sermon, I found this photo again, and now Fatty is also still one of my screensavers, but the family are there as well. But the point is, I love my sheep. I didn't think I'd get emotional standing here talking about my sheep. But how much I love my sheep, how much more God loves you. And if anything happens to you and hurts you, how much more then will the good shepherd also be in pain for you and give up his life as he has done for you? This picture at the bottom is the sheep, admittedly not this year, a couple of years ago, but they are in their pregnant state. The lambs inside them are the fruit that's being developed in these sheep. What fruit is being developed in you at the moment? For those who aren't pregnant, who can't get pregnant, there is this painful decision to be made as to whether or not to cull them. And I'm reminded of the imagery of the vine where Jesus prunes the vine, or the gardener prunes the vine to get rid of the unfruitful branches. So sometimes I cull these sheep that cannot get in lamb for the greater good of the flock. But sometimes I actually have a young sheep that doesn't hold, and I've got a few this year. They didn't hold. It means they didn't get pregnant. And I could have sold them and culled them. But actually, I know their family line. I see their potential. And so I'm giving them a second chance. And thank goodness God gives us a second chance. God is into the second chance. And it doesn't matter what you're sitting here thinking, I've messed up. You don't understand, John, what I've done. God is into the second chance. God loves the second chance. The sheep have got to get pregnant in order for the fruit to be inside. Don't panic, Joel. I know I'm prone to the faux pas, when I'm standing here, so I'm not going to come off this spiritual imagery and I'm going to keep it purely spiritual. I did wonder what picture to put up as we continue this spiritual analogy, and I think we'll just stick to the pregnant sheep. But for the fruit, the spiritual fruits to develop, we must first be filled with the Holy Spirit. And at Pentecost, when the crowds were around Peter and he asked him, "What should we do?" he replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That gift so freely given to everyone who calls on the name of Jesus Christ, who repents and is baptized and puts their faith in Jesus. And so for you to develop fruit inside you, for you to be pregnant with these fruits that one day will come forth, will give birth to, you first need to be, excuse the analogy, impregnated with the Holy Spirit. But the impregnation is not the end of it. It's not that point that the spiritual fruits are there. The Holy Spirit needs to get to work if you allow him. And sheep can only give birth to, guess what? Sheep. If we use the Holy Spirit that we've been given and we live and operate out of everything that Christ teaches us in our relationship with him through the Holy Spirit, then we can only produce the fruit of the Spirit. Other fruit may come out, but that's as a result of us maybe operating out of the flesh or out of the enemy, out of the world. But if we truly operate out of the Spirit and in the Spirit, we can't produce anything except fruit of the Spirit. And as it says in Matthew 7:17, "Even so, every good tree bears fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." If we do not produce good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, then we are not functioning as we should. And we cannot be part of God's family. A fruit tree that does not produce good fruit is useless. Think back to my culling analogy. It may need to be culled. I don't know about you, but I want to stay in Jesus' flock. So what then is the role of the pregnant sheep? Filled with the Holy Spirit, pregnant with these fruits of the Spirit. The role of the pregnant sheep on my farm is to eat the feed I provide them, is to sleep, and it's allow me to care for them, to put them in the right fields, to bring them in when it's time to bring them in, to protect them, to treat them when I need to, they're sick, to help them, they go lame, to trim their feet. But their responsibility is to trust me, eat the food I provide under the protection that I offer them. Doesn't matter how much they strain and strain and strain, they will not produce the lamb inside them. I'm not talking about the emergence of the gifts. That potentially would involve some straining and some effort as we put our faith in Jesus and actually exercise his gifts. There is. But in terms of how they develop and strain, actually, they just need to be with me. And for us, as sheep pregnant with gifts of the Spirit, we need to be eating the food that God provides. And we need to trust that he's got the best for us. We need to be allow him to protect us. And that may be through others in our church family. If we do that, the fruits will grow. The sheep don't worry about what they wear, what they eat. They trust me to provide them with the right things, with the right stuff. And thank goodness we have a good shepherd, because I'm human and we live in a fallen world and things can go wrong. Here we have the not so good shepherd. This year was horrendous for lambing at the start of the year. Why? Because I gave the sheep a bale of moldy hay. I didn't think it was too moldy, but it was a bit moldy. And it smelt. Nutritionally, probably just as good value for the sheep. But the sheep didn't fancy the food I was giving them, and so they decided not to eat so much of it. Had they carried on eating it, even though it tasted horrible, we wouldn't have had the problems. But I gave them this food and it smelled, and they didn't eat it. And the problem with sheep when they're late in pregnancy, excuse me now as I go into vet lecture mode, is that as they go into late pregnancy, the rumen, which is the sheep's stomach, can't be as big as it used to be because in their abdomen is now a big bag full of twin lambs. And so the rumen can't be as big, they can't eat as much. And so they're already in low energy. If they then choose not to eat the food I'm providing because it smells, they're going to be even lower energy. And that's not good for a sheep in late pregnancy. And we got into awful, all sorts of trouble. We had to do a cesarean on one ewe. Why? To protect her lambs. She didn't make it. But her lambs, well, one of them, two of them made it to start with. And because we were doing the grace steps with our house group the following day, we called them grace, because it was the grace steps, grace and mercy. Now, don't read into this. This isn't a sermon, but mercy died. But thankfully, grace is still alive. Yeah, as I say, some of the analogies perhaps fall down a little bit. Mercy is not dead, thank you, Lord. But grace is very, very strong. And so mother died, but we still got the two lambs. We had to do another cesarean. We had to save those lambs. This time the ewe survived, but she wasn't able to be the mother to her lambs. So I was, as the shepherd. Sharon was, as the shepherd family. In fact, Gwenny got involved this year, and Gwenny doesn't do much with our sheep. We became their family. Thinking about how God thinks of the orphan and loves the orphan. But the point is, these lambs are now doing well. But thank goodness that we do have the good shepherd, as Jesus is described, as he describes himself. Human shepherds make mistakes. But friends, if Jesus gives you food to eat or puts you in a circumstance, trust him. Don't think you know better, because if you do, things go off the rails. You may have an abortion, and your fruits of the Spirit that we're developing will just not emerge because you haven't followed the plan, the route, the food, the protection that Jesus had for you. Trust the process. Trust God. Trust Jesus. You might be going through some awful circumstances at the moment. What's your job? Abide in Christ. Abide in God. That's your role and responsibility. And we have this lovely scripture. I haven't got much water on my farm, so I couldn't get a photo of my sheep next to still water, so I used AI. It was amazing. Produce me a picture of a sheep with still waters in grass. And after a few backwards and forward comments, this is what it came up with. It's quite cool. But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. To lie down in this context is to recline or rest. And green pastures means tender grass. Not the ripe grass that is ready for harvesting, because that's a different word apparently. This is the ripe, this is the tender grass. And when we talk about it in the Old Testament, it does mean pasture, but it can also mean dwellings and habitations, places that we live. And I love it. Albert Barnes just sort of describes this passage. He says, the idea is that of calmness and repose, as suggested by the image of flocks lying down on the grass. But this is not the only idea. It's that of flocks that lie down on the grass, fully fed and satisfied, their wants being completely supplied. He makes you lie down in green pastures where you can be completely content if you abide in him, where you can be completely satisfied. He meets all your needs. He says, applied to the psalmist himself or to the people of God generally, the idea is that the wants of the soul are met and satisfied, and that in the full enjoyment of this, there is the conviction of abundance. The repose of the soul at present satisfied and feeling that in such abundant want and always will always be unknown. Why why that is. But if we put our faith in Jesus, we abide in him, if we trust the process, then he supplies all our needs. We can be fully satisfied in him and, like this sheep, be completely content. I told you it's ramblings. So another image. John 10:3 talks to him about the shepherd and also the gatekeeper, and we perhaps know this image that in the Old Testament, in these times, in the biblical times, the shepherd would often lie across the gate, or there'd be somebody else there as a gatekeeper, and the shepherd would be amongst the sheep, but basically protecting the fold. And the sheep hear his voice, the shepherd, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. This is where I say my sheep are perhaps slightly more biblical than the average Welsh farm sheep, in that most of my sheep have got names. Some of them actually know their names. Go into the shed now. Grace is now 3 weeks old. Shout, Grace, you get an answer, and she comes running to see you. She loves nibbling my beard. We think it's because she thinks I'm one of the twits and I've got cornflakes in my beard, but she likes nibbling my beard. And yesterday she was in the field, Grace, and she ran from one side of the field over towards me to have a head rub. So that's how soft my sheep are. When God calls you by name, respond. Because he might just want to give you a hug. He might want to pat you on the head. He might want to just reassure you. But the image I've got here is something that I think I've shared before. It was a few years ago, and I went out to feed my sheep. So as we approach late pregnancy, but before they're housed, I feed them concentrate feed. We call it cake. It's not cake like you and I would think, but we may respond the same way once you hear what I'm about to say. So we take the sheep cake out in the morning, and we put it on a feed trough. Well, I went out one morning, and it was just fog. I couldn't see my sheep from anywhere. So I went out with my bucket and shook it, nothing. So I then shouted, Fatty! And you heard, dun, 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 dun. And out of the mist, all these sheep came running towards me because they knew I had a good thing for them. They couldn't see me, and I couldn't see them. They knew my master's voice. I knew their name. I knew who to call. They responded. They got good things. They got a trough full of cake. That's why I say this analogy is good on all counts. Who doesn't run for a trough full of cake? And the other thing, when we talk about voice, the other thing that struck me, I was sat in the caravan and I was listening out, waiting for the... But anyway, I was waiting out for the straining to know that something was about to happen, or the splash as the water bag falls on the floor. But all I could hear was this... What the heck is that? And I went to see, and it was one of the pregnant sheep. She was just stood there. She was actually speaking to her lambs. The sheep, towards the end of pregnancy, will start muttering and making noises to speak to their unborn lambs. And in a completely different image, I just was struck by, when you are speaking in public, when we speak, we'll often be speaking to not yet Christians, so they're not quite new creations, so they're still in the pregnancy stage. Forget the gifting for a minute. This is a different image. What we say is really important to them before they're born again. That period of the not yet Christian, not yet becoming a Christian. So do watch what you say, but also you can be speaking familiar things. If there are people that you're praying about, members of the family who are not yet Christians, and you're praying for them to become a Christian, you can still do this grumbling like the mother would do to her unborn lambs. Plant seeds. Plant seeds. So plant seeds when we're talking to non-believers. Okay. Where am I going now? Oh, yes. The exciting bit. Babies! Slightly yellow because the birth was a bit more stressful than it should have been. They go yellow because they defecate inside the womb before they get born if they get stressed. I'm sure there's another sermon there for another day, but I'm not going to do that one. But these are new creations. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." This lamb has been born again, and we know that in the Bible, new birth, new lambs is used as imagery for us when we're born again. We're referred to as the sheep. So when we're born again, another one of my favorite scriptures that you'll be familiar with that I talk about, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are new creations, the old's gone. So no longer a fetus, no longer an embryo, now a new life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And for there may be some of you here who are thinking, well, I want that. And you've not actually asked to be born again. You've not asked Jesus into your life. Let's just encourage you, and we'll perhaps have an opportunity at the end, but I want to encourage you that today could be the day that you're born again. It's a really simple process. You just have to pray with conviction and with your whole heart, ask Jesus into your life, repent of your old self. And Jesus will be delighted to come and open the door and live with you. He'll give you his Holy Spirit so that you can start developing the gifts inside you through the Holy Spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit that then pour out are not for your own benefit, but to minister to each other. Don't know if you can see this, but the lamb is in a box called Lifeline. This lamb, this is Ollie. Unfortunately for Ollie, Ollie is male. So Ollie probably, even though he's got a name, we don't tend to name the males very often. Although Ollie has got a name, Ollie probably won't stay. But Sharon and I are still in discussion about this because she wants him to stay. So Ollie the Oin. But Ollie was one of quads, four lambs. Four lambs is never a good thing in sheep because they're always tiny. One died, one is still with its mother, one got killed by its adopted mother. Thank goodness we have a good shepherd. Refer you back to that again. And then this is Ollie. Ollie was hand-reared. And so here Ollie is in a bucket called Lifeline in our sun lounge, grabbing some rays, having been about 3 hours earlier in a comatose state, collapsed completely, not with it. Now, we could have just left Ollie and let nature do its thing. But farmers don't do that. Shepherds don't do that. And as it says in John 14, "I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you." We came to Ollie. We gave Ollie a stomach tube with milk. So although Ollie needed feeding, Ollie wasn't in the position to feed himself. So we actually had to feed him with a stomach tube down into his stomach, and we squirted some milk powder, made into milk, not the milk powder, artificial milk, into his belly. Sometimes you might find yourself in this position that actually you don't know what to do and you just need help. I'm reminded of that prayer, that most simple prayer when you don't know what you need. Really, really simple prayer. Help. Amen. Sometimes other people need to stomach tube us because of what we're going through, where we are. God uses other people. Anyway, Ollie's doing good. And here's Ollie with all the other pet lambs. These lambs do not have, well, they've got a mother and a father, but they're not fulfilling their full role because we're in a fallen world. One of them's got mastitis. One of them died. One of them didn't know they even had lambs because they were in a coma when they had a cesarean, and when they woke up 3 days later, they just thought they were lighter. But we are the father to the fatherless. Their real mother and father are fallen. And so I don't want to speak ill of anybody's mother and father, but I can promise you they're not a patch on God. God is the ultimate mother and father, protector, Whatever you're going through, trust the process. Give it to God. Nearly there. I can't remember who this is. This could be Ollie, actually. I can't remember quite. It was sad, which is really bad. Apologies. But it's one of those six. And Sharon here feeding the lamb with a bottle. So this one didn't need a tube at this stage. This needed milk. It would have been great to give it cake and concentrate feed, but guess what? This lamb was too young to be able to utilize the concentrate and cake. This lamb needed milk, which in effect is pre-digested food. It's in a format that we can eat and absorb and get everything we need from it with very little effort, just need to suck on it. New creations are born and they need milk. And if it's not from their mother, then they need other sources. Who are the young Christians that you have an influence over? Who are you providing milk to? Whether you've become a Christian an hour ago or 50 years ago, you have Christians that are younger than you. Who are you providing spiritual milk for? And of course, as they get used to it, they then really want milk. And here we have them. They've progressed onto the bucket. We fill this bucket up with milk two or three times a day. It's got three teats on it. And boy, when it's empty, do we know about it? The noise. Meh, meh, meh. Where's my food? Lord, feed me. Lord, that we would have this same desire and eagerness to be fed by God. It's such an example to me. When I see these lambs craving the food that is offered from the shepherd, how much should we be craving the food from our shepherd, who, remember, is the good shepherd? So these lambs eagerly desire this feed, and we're told to eagerly desire. And as newborn Christians, I think we see that, don't we? Remember back when you first became a Christian, that how keen you were to do everything and you wanted to get everything. And then maybe that's just become, oh yeah, that was then. Doesn't need to be. Eager, keen to meet with God. And I'm preaching to myself here as well. And then, this isn't this year because they're still on milk, but this is the lambs learning to feed themselves in what we call a creep feeder. So the bars are quite narrow, so the ewes shouldn't be able to get through the bars, but some of the naughty ewes still seem to make themselves really thin and get through and have this lovely feed. It's not the full concentrate that the ewes are eating, but it's slightly more, they've got to do more with it than the milk. Hebrews 5, first of all, talks about the solid food for the mature. And so for those young Christians that you know, get the elementary teaching with them right. Who are you discipling that's a young Christian? There's some basics that they need to know before you can get them onto the more solid food. And I'm reminded of later on in Hebrews chapter 6, it talks about, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying down again a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, and instruction about washing, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgments. And this we will do if God permits. It's talking about not forgetting those things, but actually there's a deeper level in which we can go with God, a higher state of knowledge and holiness as we become more mature. Are you still on spiritual milk, or are you craving more solid food that you can get in a relationship with God, with Jesus? You'll be delighted to know I have three slides left. Isaiah 53 talks about the sheep going astray. Often, when I was a student in the student union, and we did a lot of stuff with the navigators, the navs, and we would do memory scripture, and this is one of the key verses that we were taught. All like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Talking about, obviously, people who need Jesus, who have not been brought into the flock of Jesus. And it's because sheep will tend to wander if you don't necessarily fence them into an area. Some people could see that fence. This is our new fence at the bottom of our lane. Oshan and I put it up over Easter. Why is that sheep there? It's to stop the sheep wandering, but it's also to stop unwanted animals coming in. People might see that fence as a restriction for my sheep, but look at the field. Lots of green grass. There's a water butt. They get fed cake. If they were content in that, they wouldn't see the fence as a restriction. They'd see it as protection. How much more then is the law not a restriction for us, but actually protection? So the fencing keeps the sheep safe for their protection from invaders. It stops the enemy getting an opportunity. We're told to not let the enemy have an opportunity. And we can do that by operating out of the Spirit, operating through God. We have a good shepherd who puts up good fencing. We need to respect that fencing. The next verse. And like sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. We were familiar about Jesus going to the slaughter and not opening his mouth, but it also talks about him going to the shearers and not opening his mouth. All like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. There's two analogies here. Jesus, but also for us. Jesus knew what had to happen. And so although he could have defended himself, he could have had a miracle and he could have saved himself, he chose not to. He chose to stay silent so that he could be crucified for us, take his sin upon his shoulders. But what about us as the sheep being shorn? When God starts to shear you, when he starts to refine you, when he starts to remove the impurities, when he starts to take off the fleece that's dirty and old, do you stay silent or do you resist and fidget and fight? When God is pruning you, do you allow that process? Do you trust the process? Or do you resist? And I tell you now, when a sheep fidgets and you're shearing it, you're much more likely to cut it. This is a painful process for shearers. They really hurt their back. It's not something that they enjoy doing necessarily. They really hurt their back while they're doing it. It's really quite painful, but it's a necessity for the welfare of the sheep. And you need shearing. It's fine for me to speak. But you need shearing. There are impurities that you need to allow God to remove. Are you going to do it by making a fuss? Or are you going to trust the shepherd and let him know and trust that he knows what he's doing? I don't have any still water at home, but I do have a radiator. I'd given Sharon Ollie, I said, can you look after Ollie? I need to go and fix the fencing. I came in 3 hours later and there's Ollie, not in his bucket anymore, in the kitchen, curled up next to the radiator. The good shepherd, yes, makes me lie down in pastures by the still waters, but he also lets me lie down in the warmth of his home by the radiator. Because the good shepherd loves me and he loves you. As sheep, as believers, your role is to hear the shepherd, Jesus' voice. Your role is to know the shepherd. Your role is to obey and follow the shepherd. In return, the good shepherd will bless you with sacrifice, his life for yours. With salvation, he'll save you. With satisfaction, with his provision, you won't be in want of anything. And separation, which we didn't talk about, but segregation from the goats when he comes back for us. And finally, security. Eternal life, no longer perishing. Sacrifice, salvation, satisfaction, separation, security. That's the sort of shepherd that we have. And finally, this is just me, my meanderings. I hope some of it was useful, that maybe you've all had something different from it. Perhaps not your normal sermon where I've come with a conclusion, but this is me going about my everyday life over the last couple of weeks and just the thoughts that God gave me as I was doing stuff in my everyday life. And I want to encourage each of you, whatever it is that you're doing, whatever season you're in, wherever it is that God has put you at the moment, look for God in the everyday. God is alive, the Word is living, and he wants to communicate and speak to you. Let him. For you, it might be gardening. It might be the group of friends you've got. It might be your work. It might be marveling at creation. Let God speak to you and trust the process. Trust the Good Shepherd. I'm going to invite the worship team back. I just want to pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the way that you speak to us through our lives. I thank you that we are sheep that at one time had gone astray, but if we put our faith in you, are welcomed into your flock, into your fold. Thank you, Lord, that you sacrificed your life for us, that we could have that relationship with you, that you have good things for us. Help us to trust in you and what you have for us. In your precious name. Amen.